Byzantine foundership of Alexandria, that's in Egypt, sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. When we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Snidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh where unto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the mere part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain the Themis, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest." Verse 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing fast, they sailed close to by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclyde." Let's go to work together and plan this evening.
I'm thankful that in the pages of
the Word of God, God freely gives us His counsel and His advice on how to prevent ourselves from making wrong decisions. I hope you tonight, like me, want to know how not to make them so we can make good decisions, because wrong decisions have a lasting impact in our lives. Let's look at the situation here in Acts chapter 27. Let's glean from the precious Word of God some indicators that we can spot that if they just stop and if they listen to Paul, if they made the right decision, they would have foregone this shipwreck that took place. They lost that ship. I don't know what the value of it was back then. They lost everything they were transporting on it, which I'm sure was their livelihood, and almost lost their life because somebody made a wrong decision. Let's hear, if you want, in Acts chapter 27, we'll begin again in verse number 8. And it says, "And hardly passing it, they came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh unto was the city of Lycia." First time it says, "Now when much time was spent." When much time was spent. The first thing that we find evident in this wrong decision is impatience. They are sitting in the Fair Haven, and the centurion that's in charge of the ship, and the master and the owner of the ship, the longer that ship sits there in that port, the longer they're losing money. They're paying the crew that's sitting in that port, waiting for the weather to settle so that they might set sail. Their money, everything, their belongings are all inside the confines of their ship. They are not making money, they are losing money, paying the crew by the day while that ship sits here. And so, out of impatience, they send that ship on its way when it's not ready to send it yet. One of the biggest things that causes us to make wrong decisions is impatience. Not being able to wait on God. Not being able to wait for the circumstances to be right. Not waiting for things to happen the way God wants them to happen. Trying to be in a hurry. Thinking that God is taking too long. Their sailing had begun fine. Everything went good up until this point. But now they get impatient and they want to launch when it's not yet time to launch. If they just waited a little bit longer and those winds had passed, they would have had a safe journey all the way to Alexandria. But what happened? They got impatient. They got in a hurry. And they got ahead of God. Paul tried to warn them. He said in verse number 9, Paul admonished them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage." But they made a quick decision, an on-the-spot decision, a snap decision. Can I say that those quick, snap, impulsive decisions are never usually the right decisions? The devil likes to push us. God never pushes us. The devil likes to get behind and say, "Here's where you need to go." God never gets behind. God gets in front and invites you to come. So when you feel pressures or situations or circumstances pushing you, you need to understand this is time to put the anchor down. This is the time to stop everything that's going on and think seriously and pray about this, because impatience is the devil's tool. Now, I hate to liken it to this, Brother Kevin, but that's what a salesman does, isn't it? Make your decision right now. The car dealer, you go in to look at those cars and they show you the cars. You know, today, this car is on special. If you buy it today, but tomorrow, we're sending it to another car lot. You've got to get it today. Just everything is today. Everything is right now. Everything's right away. And they want you to make that decision knowing that if you go back and sit down and think about it a lot, you might change your mind. That's a tool of the trade. Something has to be done. But can I tell you, in the spiritual realm, that's a dangerous position to be in, to feel pressured and pushed to make a spiritual decision. Let me ask you this. Just think about this reasonably. When you're from a job, maybe you have to go and knock on doors around here and visit people. You know, it would be very easy to go to the door and, like a salesman, pressure them into playing the plan. Tell them you want to go to hell, you obviously know it, and yet to go down your head and play this part after me right now. You know that how repeating that plan isn't going to do a thing for them. It's not going to save their soul. They're repeating yours. They don't even know what's going on. You say, "What do you mean?" You need patience. You've got to explain the gospel to them. You've got to tell them why Jesus died, because they're sinners. And without trusting you, without the sin, you can't just rush things into that. Don't make impatient decisions, because those decisions are not good decisions. And so here they're saying, in verse 7:9, "And when much time was spent," we gotta hurry, we gotta move along. on, we gotta get out of here. We gotta move, we gotta do something. It's too boring sitting here. I've been here too long, I wanna move on. I wanna get to where the action is. That's where the trouble is. Out on the rough seas. Out there. Impatience is the key to making a bad decision. You know, the Bible tells us twice in the book of Ecclesiastes, be not hasty. Be not hasty. Can I ask you, please, in all your decision-making, be not hasty. Because when you make hasty decisions, you're tempted to make wrong decisions. The Bible tells us 9 times the word hasty is used, and every one of those times, it's used in a negative context. It doesn't pay to be hasty. Doesn't pay to be in a hurry, to be in a rush. On the opposite side, the word patience is in the Bible 34 times. Patience. The old-timers say it's not in the Bible, patience is a virtue. But the Bible does tell us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 26, add to your faith patience. The Bible tells us 3 times in the book of Proverbs, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Anytime you do anything because you feel pressured to be in a hurry, it's usually not God that's behind the pressure. Because God is not a pusher. God is an inviter. God is the leader. God is out front saying, here's the way, follow me. When we force situations due to impatience, it tends to make us and cause us make a wrong decision. Just mark it down. Next time you got a decision to make, oh, but I've got to make it by this time, boy, you better just put the brakes on. Now, there's sometimes decisions, you know, you're going to take this job or that job. You've got a deadline. You've got to make an answer. You've got pressures there. But boy, you better see that thing coming ahead of time, spend some time in prayer. Because of impatience, they set sail. Because, as you know, their impatience was costing them money. There's always a document somewhere. They, because of their impatience, they wanted to set sail, and it wasn't time, and Paul warned them, but they disregarded because of their impatience. Notice the second thing. Verse number 11. Paul had said in verse 10, Charles, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only at the lading of the ship, but also a of our lives. Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion, that's the captain of the ship, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. One thing we need to do to guard against wrong decisions is to watch for impatience. The second one, and this might catch you by surprise, is to be careful of expert advice. Be careful of you know, anybody that claims to be an expert isn't. You ever met a mechanic who said, oh, I'm an expert? He probably isn't. Anybody in any field, somebody says, oh, you're a preacher, you're an expert on the Bible. Are you kidding? That book is so full and so rich and so meaningful, there's no way it's going to be an expert in that book right there. And anybody claims to be an expert in this or that, just got a little bit of an ego problem behind the selfish somewhere. Because there's always somebody that knows more about something than somebody else does. There's always somebody a little bit further ahead. So be careful of expert advice. The centurion, whose decision it was whether or not to fail, had to decide between the counsel of Paul and the advice of the master and the owner of the ship. Surely he's going to make a decision that's in the best interest of the ship itself. Now wait a minute. Let's grab him. He's between a rock and a hard place. Here is the Apostle Paul, and everything he's heard about the Apostle Paul, he knows, oh, here's a guy that you don't mess with. Here's a guy whose advice holds some weight. And he's saying, don't set sail. It isn't going to turn out good. It's not going to be good. But here's the master and the owner of the ship, who, by the way, pays him his salary, and hired him, and he said, I want the ship out on the waters right now. Is he making a decision that's in the best interest of the ship? Or in the best interest of him for an immediate situation? Again, we come back to impatience. Too many times we make decisions based on impatience and expert advice to alleviate a very instant problem without looking at the long-term results. Now, a good example of that is one of these, I'm picking on everything tonight. One of these task places where you go in and and you get an advance on your check and then bring your check. I've never used them before, so I'm not an expert on that. But I've heard that you go in there and they can charge you anywhere from 33 to 50 to 75% interest on loaning you money ahead of time. What happens? People are in a jam, they're in a rough spot. They got something they need to pay, something that needs to be done. And they're doing whatever they can. And they're willing to risk, the circumstances down the line for an immediate satisfaction. I was talking with a fellow at Burger King the other day, somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. And he and I were talking, he told me the story. He was working for one of the local school districts. And they were having a bingo night to raise money for the band or something like that. And he was there and he was selling the tickets for the people. And he said one lady, an 80-year-old lady, came up to him and said, and cast $100 to get whatever you get, bingo cards or chips or whatever it is. She came and brought $100 to get her bingo chips. And he said, are you sure you want to spend this much? That's an awful lot of money for someone your age. She said, that's the end, that's the last of my rent money. But I don't have enough to pay my whole rent, so I'm hoping I'm going to win it right now. Getting into the social aspect of here, the majority of times I go down to Circle K to go in there to get something to drink, a pop or some chips or something like that, I stand in line behind senior citizens buying lottery tickets. Spending that social security, which is so abundant. And so making you so rich and going in and spending it on lottery tickets. It's usually the older people, like the low-income people, a lot of those are making them the issues now. A lot of those that keep the wet coupons in the pocket and the food stamps in the back pocket, the cards, and go up there and buy the lottery tickets and everything else out front. Yeah, looking down there with impatience. Not waiting. Wanting it now. Now, can I tell you that's an indication of bad decisions? Don't newlywed couples do that too many times? Our kids get married, they see what we've got when we're 40 and 50 years old, and they get married and think, well, we're supposed to have that too. They don't realize when we were their age, we didn't have that stuff. We didn't go out and buy new furniture and new television and a new car and new this and that. We waited a long time before we could save up and afford to get that. But
call parents and they'll point the finger down the line. And what is it? It's all impatience. It's all looking at wanting things ahead of schedule and ahead of time. Be not hasty. Don't listen to expert advice. Paul's advice is tabled. And the advice of the experts is taken. We live in a day where people have that same mentality. How did money come into existence? Did it come into existence by a cosmic bomb that blew up somewhere and some little protons and atoms and all that came down into some pool of yuck that was down here that would someday become the Earth and it would be in there and start mutating and growing arms and legs and crawl out of the muck and the goo and climb a tree and become a monkey and fall out of the tree and become a man. It's romantic when you're lucky to fall out of a tree. That's our ancestry. Are we going to listen to the experts? And they have all the scientific proof for that. They can tell you your mind and mine, which are limited scientifically. Again, we're not experts. And somebody that knows all that stuff can sit down there with their textbooks and just and out-talk us and out-reason us and out-argue us, and all we can do is come back with a simple answer that, you know, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, but all the experts say, all the proof indicates, and it's heaven for a shipwreck. The shipwreck of souls. The shipwreck of a nation that's following the experts instead of the simplicity of the Word of God. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think it was Aaron's homeschooling this week. She was studying the tongue and the taste buds. And why the taste, and I couldn't even tell you this because I'm not good at this stuff, but why the taste buds are the taste the bitter stuff, why the ones are the taste the sour stuff, why the ones that taste the sweet stuff, and that's just that little thing in your mouth, your tongue. And yet it's so designed to work specifically and exactly as it ought to work. That one little member of your body. And I don't know about you fat folks, and maybe I'm just not expert enough. But I have a hard time believing that just happened by accident. That tongue just happened to evolve over years to have that function and those taste buds and to do what it does. And that's just that one part. I've been in the doctor's office and seen the ankle and the legs and all the different things that you put on the eyeball and all that. And the bring danger to your soul. Paul said, don't go out and sail. It's not time to sail, but the experts said, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. We've looked at the charts, and we've looked at the graphs, and we've read the moon, the stars, and the weather. Everything's gonna be just fine. And they make a wrong decision based on expert advice. You know what happened? The centurion underestimated Paul. And he overestimated the owner of the ship. He made a decision he shouldn't have made. He cast aside the warnings of the spiritual man and followed the will of the professional. Look for spiritual counsel. Look for godly guidance. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. Five factors in making a wrong decision. Impatience. Expert advice. Number 3, look down if you wouldn't. Acts 27, verse number 12. Acts chapter 27, verse 12. And because the heathen was not commodious to winter in. You understand what that means? Because the heathen was not commodious to winter in. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't the ideal spot to spend the winter. They didn't have the chalet. They didn't have the beautiful mountain scenery. They didn't have all they wanted there, so because of their discomfort and impatience, they made a wrong decision. Don't make decisions based on comfort, because this decision made on comfort, you know what? By the time you get to Acts chapter 27, they are in cold water. You ever been in cold water? I mean, submerged in cold water, you know, you watch the Titanic, the movies and stuff like that, and see that and try to imagine water that's 35, 38 degrees. Now I can stay in cold water better than a lot of folks can. We got our swimming pool out there in the backyard. When the end of May comes around, I'll be out there up to my knees. The water's about there. I'll be in there getting it all ready for winter. When nobody else would dare get inside that water. I like that. I remember growing up in that state up north. I remember growing up there, and we would go in the sauna. We were in high school, we'd go in the sauna, get a couple of sweats, and go running out across the yard in the middle of the ice and snow. snow and jump inside of it, that cold water of that swimming pool. Now, my age now, I'd probably have a heart attack if I tried to do that. But back then, as teenagers, you know, you'd do those kind of things, and you lived to tell about it, fortunately. But you imagine the comfort. They're saying, hey, here at the Fairhavens, it's not comfortable enough. It's not commodious to winter here. So let's get on this ship and set sail in the midst of this storm. Now we're going to end up with the ship breaking on rocks, and you're swimming in this freezing cold water, hanging on to pieces of lumber and furniture from the ship, trying to make it to shore to save all that. I bet when they were out there waiting to shore, they were saying, I bet we all wish we'd have stayed in the Fairhavens. I wish we'd have stayed back here where we had that heart in the corner and some wood on the fire and we're sitting there warming our hands by it. Now I let me say the grass always looks greener on the other side. Maybe Gary's not here, boy, Gary Evans, but I'll pick on him. How my folks moved the floor home and the turn around and moved back. I was talking to somebody else in one hand, I was talking to somebody this week, maybe it's somebody here, I don't remember. They were talking about living in Florida, oh, it's beautiful down there. To chemicals. It is hot. We want to get back up to Ohio. We want to get back up to North. The grass always looks greener on the other side. Don't make decisions based on discomfort. Even if you were over the book of Philippians, just a few pages further from your lap. And if Paul could give us any lesson that he learned from this shipwreck, again, he was on the right side of the whole thing. But Paul said something in Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. Paul said this in writing the church of Philippi, not that I speak in respect of God. For I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, thou wilt to be content. Now Paul isn't talking about the state of Ohio or the state of Kentucky, he wasn't talking about the state of confusion. He was just talking about whatever his circumstances were, he was not in a hurry to get out of them. Again, we go back to that impatience. Paul was willing to accept his current position and current condition. Again, God leads, not drives. God invites, not pushes. And here we find these being driven because it's not commodious here in the winter, so something is pushing them forward. Out into the sea, out into the storm. Don't make decisions based on discomfort. They'll probably only lead to greater discomfort. If we just had what so-and-so had. We just live the life that those people live. Be content with those things you have. Paul said, I've learned that in whatever state I am, valid to be content. How do you avoid making a wrong decision? Avoid impatience. Don't listen to expert advice. Watch out for discomfort. Don't make decisions based on discomfort. And then if you want to verse 12. Again it says in verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, notice this. The near part advised to depart thence also. The near part advised, alright? The centurion is asking for advice, and Paul is by himself. Don't go. Don't leave. I don't have a good premonition about this. Things are not going to work out good. There's the only one of all of them that's working with God. And they ask him and he says, here's what I think. And then they ask the owner of the ship, he says, let's go, let's get out there, let risk it, let drive into the wind, everything will be okay. And the Bible says that the majority backed up the owner of the ship. And the near part, the Bible says, advised to depart thence also. You need to watch out. Watch out for the majority. Because the majority is often wrong. Now I know majority rule is a good form of government. And in much counsel is much wisdom. And you're talking about in the setting of spiritual people. We know as the multitude that opposed Christ. And as the multitude that opposed the disciples. It's the multitude that lifted up their voices against Christ and the disciples and against the church in the New Testament. And the multitude is usually going the wrong direction. We know what the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke. broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Don't follow the majority, because the majority is often wrong. Keep your place there in Acts 27, look back at Saul. Psalms. And Psalm chapter 1. I know you know this verse, but it comes into place here. Be careful of whose counsel you advise you listen to. It's Paul against everybody else. But guess which one's right? Guess who's going to turn out to be accurate? Paul says if we say after one credit, the rest said no credit. So they failed. And they had a shipwreck. And they went 14 days, you read the story later in Acts chapter 27. They went 14 days fasting and trying to save the ship and bring it back, and it didn't work until finally they had to jump overboard and get to shore. In Psalm chapter 1, notice verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Can I say that's the majority? The counsel of the ungodly nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You probably often heard it described this way. You notice the digression and movement. Blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth, he stopped walking and he's standing still, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His progress is being slowed down and delayed by the counsel of the multitude. Be careful of the multitude in making decisions, because the multitude is generally wrong. And so when we look for five factors in making a wrong decision, we see that they had impatience, that they listened to expert advice, that they made a decision based on their personal comfort, your discomfort, and they followed maturity. Well, again, I'm not against maturity rule, don't misunderstand. But when you're seeking the will of God, don't lie about the maturity. Lie about the spiritual realm, lie about the godly realm, lie about the realm that really is trying to give you advice that's good for you. For long term and not for the immediate. And look at your 1 verse 13, we find the fifth key to making a wrong decision. force of the toxin. And when the south wind blew softly, who doesn't like that? Who would like to walk out the doors of this church when it was about 37 degrees when church started today? Who would like to walk out there and feel that south wind blowing softly, and all of a sudden it's about 60 degrees outside when you walk out to your car? I think, unless there's somebody insane in here, we'd all hope for that. We'd all like to see that south wind blowing in. And so here's what they say. They're in the fair havens. They're trying to make a decision. Do we sail or don't we? This one man, Paul, is going against the majority. He just can't get along with everybody. And he's saying, don't go. I don't have it. I don't feel good about this. The Lord's telling me it's not going to work out prosperous. Don't go. Everybody else is saying, we need to get out of here. We need to get it. We need to get moving. The experts have told us that the seas are fine, the coastline is fine, everything's going to be good. We need to get out of here because it's not going to be a good place to spend the winter. And look at, feel that soft breeze coming from the south right now. That's just an indication we need to leave here and get out there. Everything's gonna be just fine. You know the devil can control the wind. The devil can control the weather. And sometimes I know which days he's controlling. He can control the weather. You know how you know that? Because in the book of Job, when, you know the story, when God came to the devil and said, have thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth? An upright man, one that escheweth God and feareth evil. And the devil says to God, does that Job fear you for naught? Take away that fence, take away that hedge, and let me touch what he's got, and we'll see he'll curse you to your face. God says, in modern English, you're on, devil. And he lifts up that outer gate, as we talked about, outer shape, and he lets the devil cause a great wind to come that blows down the building that Job's sons and daughters are having this little get-together, birthday party, whatever. Now they're under this roof, and the devil sends a wind that takes that building down and kills all of Job's children. Wasn't God that sent that wind? It was the devil with God's permission that sent it. The devil can control the weather when God gives him permission to. And I believe with all my heart, verse number 13, the devil sent whole circumstance. You know, we do, we look at the immediate. We look at what's it. Here's the Apostle Paul in touch with God, giving them counsel and advice and saying, don't do it. But they're looking at the immediate circumstances and saying, oh man, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything looks favorable. Everything looks good to the human eye. The experts are in favor. The majority are saying, do it. We're going to set sail. And they're going to go into a tempest in verse 14. But not long after their rules existed, a tempestuous wind called Hurricane. The experts didn't see that coming. That soft southern breeze was just the forefront of something terrible that was behind it. And when they reacted to what was in front, they experienced what came behind it. All hopes in our decision-making look past the favorable circumstances. Look past the immediate satisfaction of your need and your wants. And wait on the Lord and have some patience. And the Bible says in verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. When they saw the south wind, they just figured, hey, look, that's an indication everything's going to be okay. Supposing. You're even getting heavy when you suppose. That was used when Mary and Joseph leave the temple when Jesus is 12, and they make a 3-day journey home before they realize Jesus is with them. They supposed that Jesus was with them. Don't suppose anything. Don't take circumstances as the will of God. Don't use it to make a wrong decision. Allow them a south wind blow softly. Especially when it blows against the council of the godly man like the Apostle Paul. Now, folks, I know the Bible says that, preacher, but if I don't do this or don't do that, then this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Based on the circumstances. Based on the present conditions, impatient, don't make wrong decisions. So how do we make the right ones? We plan. Talk about that this morning. We plan. We wait on God. If it's a decision that you have to make that tomorrow, it's probably not a decision you should be making. If you're probably not God that's there. Now, I know there are circumstances sometimes where that's different. I've been reading Miranda bought me a book on Tim Tebow. I've been reading that book through his eyes, and he got, when he finished high school, had all these scholarship offers from all these different schools. He narrowed it down to two, Alabama and Florida. Which one is he going to go to? And the day came that he was supposed to get in front of the whole people at the crowd and make the announcement, I have chosen to attend to play football at the University of, and he had a blank right there after that because he didn't know if he was going to say Alabama or Florida. And he talked about in that story, he talked about while everybody was out there waiting, he was back there in a room, and he still didn't know which way he was going to go. Now, it worked out good for him. Worked out favorably for him. But be careful in making those kind of decisions. Those smart decisions. Those quick decisions. Now he spent a lot of time, if you know his testimony, he spent a lot of time praying and seeking, and the coaches he looked at, he made decisions based on spiritual qualities, things like that. But just be careful about decision making. Be careful of the things we do. We need to pray, we need to wait on the Lord, and we need godly counsel. This morning we talked about intercessory prayer. When you have a need, when you have something that's urgent, maybe this Wednesday something's going to happen, and it's a major thing, and you need to find somebody you can trust that can get a hold of God and can pray and talk to God and get a hold of heaven, who is it that you're going to call? That's that godly counsel. That's that spiritual man or woman. And when you've got decisions to make, don't look at present circumstances. Don't get the advice of experts. Don't make it based on your own personal comfort. Make decisions that are based in prayer. Make decisions that are patient and thought out and well-intentioned and well-planned, or if not, it's going to end up in shipwreck. I don't know about you, I think I do. You've been in spiritual shipwreck before. You've made bad decisions. That's just our lot in life. We all do that. To one degree or another. And maybe the thing that has just impressed me more and more, God, is the older I get, the more I see the value of making those right decisions. People make wrong decisions that affect the rest of their life. People have ruined their Christian testimony by making spot decisions, then yielding the temptation on the moment, on the place, on the minute, and not such